morning, is it not? Hallelujah, man. It's good to see you here. Good to see you, brother. All right. As we get started today, I'm not going to sing, although my mom told me that she thought I sound really, really good, okay, singing one time at church, okay, so don't say amen to that. She did. She said, I heard you. I said, are you sure you heard me, or that might have been Sally, or she said, no, she said, okay, whatever. All right, grace, God's grace, right? Y'all know that song, right? Grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. And so I want to start with that, because today we are starting a series, and I have no idea how long it's going to take. Okay. It's something that's been on my heart for actually a couple years. There's a book called Unfolding Grace. It's actually Bible readings. Okay. Guided with some little commentary here and there that I'm going to read some of today. Not every week will I do that, but today I am, as we get started. So today is like an intro. So, I'm going to do my best to be done by 12. Okay. Amen. I don't know why I keep going back to that joke. All right. Some jokes just need to be left alone. Oh, yeah, y'all, I can preach. Y'all just go back and eat. I'll keep preaching. All right, that'll work. Okay, I'll still preach it, man. Okay, but this is actually a book of 40 guided readings through the Bible. And if you want to see it afterwards, I can show you. You can get it. You can pick it up at but you can order it online or whatever. But Unfolding Grace is a book of 40 guided readings through the Bible. Here's kind of like the flap of it here, the back flap there, the little excerpt or little thing about it. So the single most popular book in the world, the Bible, came to us over many centuries from many authors and in many different literary styles, yet every part fits together into a coherent whole. Its pages tell a unified story of grace, a story that climaxes in the triune God of love, redeeming sinners and sufferers through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I just want to read to you just kind of the introduction, okay, of it here. It's on page 5. It says, we all love epic stories. This is because most deeply we are part of one. The Bible tells one overarching narrative, and it is a true story of the world. It is a story of God's unfolding grace. We are all born into this drama, and it's only as we come to know the story and its author that we find our true identity and purpose. The Bible came to us over many centuries with many different authors and in many different literary genres, yet every part fits together into a coherent whole. It begins with the world as it was meant to be, humanity in harmony with God, with one another, and with creation. It culminates with God setting all things right and making all things new. And in between this good beginning and even better ending, the triune God of love redeems sinners and suffers with grace. The purpose of this book is to orient us to the overarching storyline of the Bible, and to do so with the Bible itself. All right? And so it's going to guide us with 40 different readings. I'm going to call them sections, kind of go back and forth. Okay, and this allows for readers to use this plan as to a journey straight through at any preferred pace. And so again, we're going to kind of take our time as we go through like we normally do. Okay. And so it kind of gives you an idea. As a coach, and it's funny that I have a former player here, Aaron, good to see you. I'm sure he never heard anybody say this. I can remember, vividly how it was like as a coach. I could tell, or I didn't have to tell, you could hear it from the stands, whenever the crowd or the certain fans just didn't understand why I was doing what I was doing. For instance, in particular, I would try to play as many players as I could in the first half of ball games, okay? Especially if it wasn't a district game, Columbia, right, Suwannee, Madison, But in other games, I'm trying to play as many players as I could in the first half, because my idea was I may need them in the end of the year. And if I never played them, right, Aaron, if I never played you, okay, at all in the first half, what are you going to do when you get in a game in the playoffs and you got to play, right? And so the idea was, my whole point was, I was looking at the big picture, but people would get aggravated because Coach Murphy is tripping, all right, and it's, we should be up 20 right now at halftime. We only up 10. He shouldn't have played those other guys. Okay, that was, but I'm looking at the whole picture, right? The whole idea, being another way of saying it was a marathon for me. They are for the fans that were there, it was a sprint. How come we end up 20 right now? So my point there is this big picture, and this book gives a big picture of God's plan. Okay, Kaylin, thank you for helping today. Miss Rhonda's not doing well. I should have We should have prayed for her. In fact, let's pray for her real quick, okay? God, we pray for Miss Rhonda. She is doing better, feeling a little better, but she's under the weather. And so, God, I just pray for complete healing for her. We thank you for her devotion and, you know, just always being here and doing the best she can. And so we thank you for her service and pray that you'll allow her to feel better in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead, Kaylin, to the next one there. It should have a breakdown. And so that's kind of the breakdown of the seven parts of the book. Okay. And so you have the story begins and it says six readings and or sections, and that might take us 10 weeks. Okay. I don't know. All right. I'm just saying. So, but we're going to be patient as we go through. And then you have part two, God's people being redeemed. And then part three, God's kingdom established. And then four is kingdom declined and partially restored. Part five, the hope of restoration. And then part six is the dawning of the kingdom. And then part seven, the last one, the gospel spreads and all is made new. So there's the overarching theme there, the big picture. We're going to be in the story begins, okay? And I know there's at least three parts. Actually, it's going to be at least four parts, okay? Because I've already done three sermons, already worked on three sermons, and today's the first one, okay? And so I encourage you and challenge you to do the readings each week before I preach on them that next Sunday, all right? I will tell you each week about the next week, along with try to send a text about it as a reminder. And so if you read all of Genesis, like Mr. Mike, good job. I'm proud of you. All right. Okay. So Genesis 1, all right, y'all. And so we're going to begin with part one. The story begins with the first section, the first reading, God's creation and humanity's fall, and it covers the first four chapters of Genesis. Okay. Now, again, I just want to read one more time, and I'm not going, like I said, I'm not going to do this all the time. Hey, man, you're going to not preach. You're just going to read. No, just every now and then. Okay. I mean, good to see you guys. All right. So the Bible's opening words direct us to the very beginning of the story of the world. In these first chapters, we learn how God creates all things and makes humanity in his image. We learn how he has made us to enjoy his presence and to reflect his goodness by ruling over his world. We learn that originally there was no sin, suffering, or sadness. Everything was very good. We'll look at that this morning. Humanity was in right relationship with God, with one another, and with the creation itself. This is a picture of shalom, peace, universal flourishing, harmony, and happiness. But the story also shows the fall of humanity into sin. As a result of humanity's rejection of God, the world is now filled with sin, suffering, and death. Life is not the way it is supposed to be. And we'll look at that in week three. Okay. Yet God speaks his word of grace into the midst of our brokenness. He promises that a son of Eve will conquer the serpent, which signals that God will reverse the consequences of sin and restore blessing to the world. This is the first promise of grace, a promise that unfolds across the Bible's pages and through history's ages. The Bible unfolds God's gracious plan to restore God's people to God's place, to enjoy his presence and reflect his rule. And so the first section, again, is entitled God's Creation and Humanity's Fall. And we'll be in there at least 4 weeks. So today, we're going to look at God's creation. All right. I'm sure you have your Sunday school class and you've heard this before. All right. But I hope that you will listen to it with a new heart this morning, new ears. Okay. So let's begin with the beginning, shall we? See what I did there in the beginning. Anyway, sorry. All right. I have to prepare the crowd for, you know, the jokes here. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So I want to start by pointing out that God is a sports fan. Did you know that? He's a baseball fan. You know, big inning. Okay, I'm going to let that stay with you for just a second. Okay, all right. Okay. All right, I'm not the first one to do it. Okay, Aaron said it went right over his head. Okay, all right. But in all seriousness, I read where someone said, and I can't remember who it was, so I can't give him credit or her, but said that if you believe the opening verse in the Bible, then you have no problem believing the rest. Okay? If you believe that God Almighty, created the heavens and the earth, it should be easy to believe the rest of the book. All right? And while spending the majority of our time together, we're going to look at the creation of earth. I would be remiss if I didn't take some time this morning to examine the idea of God creating the heavens and the earth, right? As David Guzik says, a typical galaxy contains billions of individual stars. Our galaxy alone, the Milky Way, contains 200 billion stars. Our galaxy is shaped like a giant spiral, rotating in space with arms reaching out like a pinwheel, and our sun is one star on one arm of the pinwheel. Right, he goes on to say it would take 250 million years for the pinwheel to make one full rotation. But this is only our galaxy, and there are many other galaxies with many other shapes, including spirals, spherical clusters, and flat pancakes. The average distance between one galaxy and another is about 200 million trillion miles. Okay. Our closest galaxy is the Andromeda Galaxy, about 12 million trillion miles away. Okay. For every patch of sky the size of a moon, if you could look very deep, you would see about a million galaxies. I mean, let's just be honest right here. I mean, does anybody else already have their mind blown? Like, I can't. I'm just not that smart. Okay, amen. You missed it. Okay, all right. But you know, it's mind-numbing stuff. Okay, and by the way, whenever you have time, Caitlin and I just listened to it yesterday on the way to a track meet yesterday in Tallahassee, or on the way to drop her off in the morning. Louis Giglio. Okay, if you ever get a chance, look up Louis Giglio, G-I-G-L-I-O, Indescribable on YouTube. Okay, Louis Giglio, Indescribable. Who's familiar with it? Just curious. All right, you got a chance. You gotta watch it. Okay, it will blow your mind the whole time. Okay, it's Caitlin and I throughout the whole thing. We're just looking at each other like then say something else, and we'll be like, it's unbelievable. But definitely try to do that. And it and not only will it blow your mind, but it's going to make you feel really, really small. Really, really small, and that's a good thing. Okay, that's a good thing. We'll return to that later. The David Guzik continues, and he says, God created. So inherent into this and this idea of God is that he is a, quote, intelligent designer, okay, unquote. Only an intelligent designer could create a just right universe. It's not by chance, okay? Our universe is a just right universe. The universe has a just right gravitational force. I know you probably heard it before, but the whole Big Bang theory. Well, yeah, God said bang, and it happened. All right, just the way He wanted it to happen. All right, and, you know, if it were larger, listen. If it were larger, universe was larger, the stars would be too hot and would burn up too quickly and too unevenly to support life. If it were smaller, the stars would remain so cool, nuclear fusion would never ignite, and there would be no heat and light. Okay? Again. It's okay if y'all want to do this, to me every now and then, Alex. Okay, the universe has a just right speed of light. If it were larger, stars would send out too much light. If it were smaller, stars would not send out enough light. Okay? Again, goes on to say, David Guzik, again, giving him credit here because I just love this, that the universe has a just right average distance between the stars. Okay? If it were larger, the heavy element density would be too thin for rocky planets to form, and there would only be gaseous planets. Okay. If it were smaller, planetary orbits would become destabilized because of the gravitational pull from other stars. Again, all right, this stuff is just over my head, right? You know, Aaron, you can just do that, right? I'm not saying for you, but for me. The universe has a just right polarity of the water molecules. If it were greater, the heat of fusion and vaporization would be too great for life to exist. If it were smaller, the heat of fusion and vaporization would be too small for life's existence. Liquid water would become too inferior a solvent for life chemistry to proceed. Ice would not float, leading to a runaway freeze-up. Again, craziness, right? Just right. Okay, now look at verse 2. The earth was, the ESV says, the earth was without form and void. Okay, I have this nightmare every year. Okay, and I have a couple of former students, and I have a current student in the house right now. But if every year, I think for one, maybe one or two, but most every year I have the nightmare of the unruly class. Okay, anybody else have that nightmare? Come on, teachers. Yes, yep, I see it. All right, I have this nightmare that I have a class I can't control. I have it every year. Right, or almost every year, and it's just unruly. It's without form and void. Right, it's chaos. Right? Everything's going cray cray. Right? But the thing is God created order from chaos. From the chaos, God created order. The Hebrew word for God as creator is Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, and we praise Yahweh, Father God, God the Creator, Elohim. Amen. Right, hallelujah. I want to read to you what I read earlier this morning, just a couple of verses of it, because I think it's appropriate at this time. In Psalm 8, verse 3, and Caitlin is not on the screen, so Just bear with me, everybody. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, all that we talked about today, the moon and the stars, which you set in place, what is a human being that you remember him, a son of man that you look after him? And in all the vastness of creation, okay, what are we? Right? Yeah, he sees us anyway. Amen. And so if you're taking notes, we finally get to it today. In the creation, go ahead, Kaylin. In the creation account of Genesis 1, okay, God spoke things into existence. He saw that his creation was good. Okay, shape man in his image, and then set man apart as special. So I get to keep my Baptist preaching card for another week. Amen, Mr. Lewis. Here we go. All right, no, amen. All right, I try really hard, by the way. Sometimes I have to ask my mom. I say, hey, Mom, is this a good word for you? Okay, and she'll say, find another one. Or, yeah, that's good. Okay, all right. So number one, I might need to do that with Miss Donna. You might be getting some text messages from me, by the way. All right, I'm like, hey, Miss Donna, can you tell me if that's a good word? Okay, so the first one is God spoke things into existence, right? And so I just asked Riley, I interviewed her earlier, and she didn't know why I was asking, and she's looking at me weird right now. But according to her, she has now formed and made, okay, created, so to speak, at least 75 little clay toys, little clay figurines, right? About 75. All right. Y'all should see these, by the way. They're unbelievable, right? Wouldn't you agree? Mimi and Pawpaw? Like, Mom, and I'm not just saying that because she's my daughter. I'm going to brag on her anyway, but I'm telling you, they're unbelievable. Like, I mean, they're just so the detail, and they're little things, right? I can't hardly see them. I got to have my glasses, like, you know, on like 2.5s. Like, I can't, you know, to see all the details that she makes here. But they're just beautiful. And she does a great job. In all seriousness, you really do. She does a great job. She spends so much time with them. And so we're going to talk about that again in just a second. But what we'll see here in this chapter is that God spoke it. He just said the words and it happened out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. By the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not seen, that are not visible. Okay, the truth that this truth, by the way, that God created the universe out of nothing, okay, is sometimes described by the Latin phrase ex nihilo. Okay, sometimes I mispronounce that, but ex nihilo or nihilo. It's actually spelled E-X-N-I-H-I-L-O. Okay, and all that word simply means, you know, teaching you didn't know you're going to learn some Latin this morning. It simply means out of nothing. Out of nothing. Ex nihilo. This ability of God to create ex nihilo is not only mentioned in Hebrews 11:3, it's also inferred to in Romans 4:17. It says this, as is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, the one who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. Okay? Out of nothing. All right? Something. Okay. Now, in addition, what we read earlier, I want to read more of that. Actually, that Sally read the heavens. I think she. I'm just going to read her what she read again. The heavens were made by the word of the God, by the word of the Lord. Let me start over. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of sea into a heap. He puts into depths the storehouses. Let the whole earth fear the Lord. That all the inhabitants of the Lord stand in awe of him. Amen. And yeah, I know you've heard this story 1,000 times, but I want you to be, I hope that you are captured today by the awesomeness of Elohim. Amen. Okay. For he spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. See, this is incredible. It is worthy of praise. In fact, in Revelations, we'll see that. Revelations 4:11, our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Amen. Because you have created all things and by your will they exist and were created. We should give glory to them. So anytime anybody want to holler every now and then, praise the Lord, you go ahead. Okay, you're not going to bother me. And while I teach seventh grade, for goodness sake, okay? Amen. Sorry. All right. And while this is very cool, as far as what we talked about with Riley earlier, it is. It's awesome. You should really see it, okay? It's a really, really cool thing. And I commend Riley for being able to do this. But she had to have clay, all right, in order to do that, right? All right? God took nothing and made the world, made everything that we see, okay? And as we go through this first point, we'll simply look at what God created each day for the first 5 days by simply saying the word, all right? And we'll look at day 6 and the third point this morning. So just stay with me. We're going to go through it fairly quickly, all right? As quickly as I can, amen, all right? Day 1, all right? What are they on day 1? light, what was created, light, day and night. Okay, here we go. Genesis 1, 3 through 5. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called a light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, there was morning one day. All right, can I get a hallelujah for light, day and night? Amen. Okay. I just waking up and the sun, there's sun outside, and just the fact that it's nighttime and it's time for me to put my girls to bed and I get some rest, and just the fact that there's day and there's night, and light. We should be very grateful for that. Amen. Right. And again, you can add to any time with a praise. All right. Day two, heaven or sky. All right. Genesis 1, 6 through 8. Then God said, let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water, so God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. All right. Sky. Can I get a hallelujah for the sky? All right, and you look up and you see God's glory. And again, I'm just going to say, he's definitely a Gator fan. I mean, orange and blues. All right, I'm just saying. Okay, all right, amen, amen. All right, just sorry. All right, but it's beautiful. Okay, what's that?
Oh me.
I hear that. Okay, I do try to point that out every now and then. If there's some orange and blue, I said, look at that sky. Oh man. Okay. All right. Day three. Land and sea. Okay, vegetation, plants and trees. All right, Genesis 1, 9 through 13. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds, and it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. All right. Can I get a hallelujah for land and sea and vegetation? Anybody else like veggies or fruit? I know I got one right here. So Riley is very, she likes gifts. Okay, that's one of her love languages. And so Kayla and I went last week out and for a date. It was really fun for a couple hours. But we made sure we brought a gift back. Right? What was one of those gifts? Dragon fruit. That's how. Yeah. I have interesting kids. Okay. All right. That's a good way of saying strange kids. I love y'all. But anyway, she wanted dragon fruit. She wanted dragon fruit. So that's what we had, dragon fruit, right? But again, okay, hallelujah for vegetation, for plants and trees, for land and sea. I'm definitely thankful for land because I get sick on the water, okay? All right, the older I get, the worse I am. I haven't been on the water in a long time, but I mean, I didn't know I had it until I went out with Roy and Mom. All right, and we went out deep sea fishing or whatever, and I was on the bottom of the boat throwing up the whole way back. Okay, so I'm thankful when I got to land. I was like, yes, bless me, Lord. All right, day four, sun, moon, and stars. Next, verses 14 through 19. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for seasons and for days and years. There will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, and it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the fourth day. Sun, moon, and stars. And speaking of the stars, Isaiah 40, 25, 26 says, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up and see who created these. He brings out the stars by number. He calls all of them by name. Because of his great power and strength, not one of them is missing. Can we get one of these real quick for the mind blown? He has a name for all the stars. Can you imagine? It just blows my mind. As many, we talked about how vast the creation is. Yeah, he names them. I'm like, yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, oh yeah, I know that one. That's Jimmy. Yeah. I don't know why I said Jimmy. I should have said somebody else, like Sally. I don't know, I started with Jimmy, but anyway. All right. Just playing, babe. All right. God is worthy of worship, as it says in the ESV Study Bible writers. He said, for he created, controls, and preserves what the pagans foolishly worship. It says, not one is missing. They say, God's creating the stars would have been awe-inspiring, even in ancient Israel, where about 5,000 stars were visible at night. Astronomers now estimate, however, that there are more than 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, right? And that there are 125 billion galaxies in the universe. Okay? And I'm not going to say the numbers are staggering here, but again, he calls them all by name. And he ensures that not one is missing. such a God will surely never forget even one of his people. Amen. All right. Can I get a hallelujah for a sun, moon, and stars? Just love looking. Anybody like really into that astronomy, just really like looking at the stars and stuff. It's just an amazing thing. Right. Day 5, creatures in the sky and water. Stay with me. Verses 20 through 23. Then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged creature according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Evening came and then morning, the fifth day. Anybody like seafood in here? Okay, all right, there you go. Amen. Seafood, fish. Okay, I can remember speaking of that time that we went deep sea fishing. We caught some, what was it? Wahoo. Yeah, my brother-in-law Wesley caught a wahoo. All right, and I'm telling you, like, I'm not really a big fish guy. Like, I like shrimp and all, but I mean, fish, I can eat. We just didn't eat a lot of it growing up, right? But man, that was cut into steaks, and we come back home. We were living in Jasper then, and we grilled it, and man, it was like, it's the best fish I've ever had. It was like pork. Like, it was, wonderful. But anyway, so hallelujah. I mean, hallelujah for sky and water creatures and, something like dove and quail and all the, don't ever take me dove hunting because I ain't going to hit anything. I'm just going to weigh shells. But, okay, amen. I can't hit a thing, man. I'm like, hey, what you doing over there? Shooting at the sky. Okay? All right? I'm 100% on that. Okay? I ain't going to hit anything. My Uncle Kevin, God rest his soul, passed away. Man, he could hit everything. That dude was unbelievable, man. He just, where's the birds? Who has the birds? Uncle Kevin. Yeah, he killed all of them. All right? Anyway. But we're grateful for that. Okay? And what did God think about all of this? Well, that's the next point. So if you are taking notes, in the creation account of Genesis 1, God spoke things into existence. He saw that his creation was good. That's the next thing. Shape man in his image, set man apart as special. So God saw that his creation was good. I think the older I get, the more I appreciate, I don't know how to say this, like talent. Does that make sense? Like people who are good at stuff. You know what I mean? Like I don't even mind. I hate to admit this, and I'm gonna lose my man card maybe, but I don't mind watching American Idol if it's somebody who can actually sing. Like, I don't like all the stupid stuff. I like to find somebody who can sing, and I'm like, wow, that person's really good. You know, like, or that, to, you know, good basketball players. I see somebody who's like really, really good. Like, I can remember the time in my life when I was like, because I thought I was decent, decent little ball player. I could shoot a little bit, right? Amen. Aaron, come on, Casey. Amen. But I can remember Mike Miller. Anybody knows Mike Miller? Played for Miami Heat. Okay, so he's a University of Florida, go Gators. Anyway, and I went to Midnight Madness one night, and I'm thinking, I'm pretty good. I'm only a couple years older than him. And he was just playing around, y'all. Literally, the half court was like right here, okay? And he was like here. This is half court. The goal's like way over there, And he wasn't even paying attention or even trying. He was just like, he was talking to somebody. He's like, go get somebody high five. That made you good. And he made like 4 out of 5, like not even trying, from like almost half court. And I was like, yeah, that's different levels of good. yeah, there are different levels of good, and I ain't that, okay? All right, or just teachers who are just, you see, when you watch teachers, and like, man, they're just really, really good teachers. The only time I've ever been on a jury, and I'm sure Genesis is like, oh gosh, get to hear this story again. But like, I was on a jury in Jacksonville, and y'all think lawyers on TV are good? Wait till you see the real thing. Like, I was amazed at how good they were. I was like, what? And you're not supposed to say, like, on a jury, you're not supposed to, like, be like, make a decision beforehand, but I couldn't help it, All right, the defense attorney got up there, and I was like, oh, he innocent. He ain't do it. He ain't do it. And then the prosecutor turned to get up there, and I was like, he definitely did. He guilty. He guilty. I mean, the whole time I was going back and forth because they're so good, right? And I know y'all know where I'm going with this, but I have an appreciation for things that are good. And how many times have you I'm sure you've gone to church and you the preacher will say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, right? That's true. Just because we say it a lot doesn't mean it's any less true, right? He is most certainly a good God, better than we deserve in times of his dealing with fallen and simple mankind. Amen. Well, what God created was also good. Check it out. You can look back right now if you have your Bible. All right, I'm not going to go, it's not going to be on the screen there. But if you look at verses 10, 12, 18, 21, 25, and 31, you're going to see the same phrase. Okay. And what is it? Okay. God saw that it was good. Okay. Every time. And then the last reference, Genesis 1:31, will be up here because Kaylin is awesome. Says God saw all that he had made and it was very good. Very good indeed. Evening came and then morning, the sixth day. Everything that he made was very good. Okay. All right. And so just keep that in mind. And so he spoke it into existence and it was great. Okay, it was very, very good. It was awesome. And then God shaped man in his image. We're going to look more about that, more over that next week. But stay with me today, all right, as we're getting close, y'all, I promise. All right, now we come to day six. I told you we'll get to it, day six. And this is the best one. Verses 24 through 27. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds. Livestock. Amen for steak, brother. All right. Okay. I should get amen louder on that one, man. Woo. All right. Creatures that crawl and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. All right. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. Can I get an amen for bacon? I'm just saying, it just came to my mind. Sorry, I can't help it. Bacon. Anyway. All right. I'll continue. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the seas, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created them in the image of God. He created them male and female. We'll look more in detail about that next week. Okay, so we have the land creatures here, and then the most special ones of all, human. Right? It was said at one time that the U.S. government spent $100 million a year looking for extraterrestrial intelligence. Okay. David Gusick said, I didn't say it, but he says it might have been wiser to spend the money cultivating intelligent life in Washington. But that's a David Gusick thing, okay? Not a Patrick thing, okay? But, all right, don't want to get political. But verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And according to David Gusick again, I use him a lot, but I can't help it. I can't say it better than him, so I want to give him credit. But he says there are at least three aspects to the idea that we are made in the image of God. Okay, so I didn't create this, okay, at all, but I agree with it. So that means human possess personality, okay, knowledge, feelings, and a will. This sets man apart from all animals and plants. It means humans possess morality. We are able to make moral judgments and have a conscience, okay? And then three, it means humans possess spirituality. Man is made for communion with God. It is on the level of spirit we communicate with God, amen? And we'll talk about that a little bit, about, you know, kind of the misplaced importance on certain things in life, like animals. Okay, I love Skippy. I might have hit him with a golf club, but I love him. All right, but I love humans more. Okay, you know, and so and we'll talk more about that as we continue. But no other thing, no other created thing, ex nihilo, right, out of nothing, was created in his image. We're special. Okay, and that's going to lead us to the last point, but I do think that's very important to convey, and I can really go off here for a little bit and what's kind of happening in our world today, but I don't know how telling a young student in my class that they are special and they're made in God's image, why that's a bad thing. You're going to have to explain that one to me, okay, because I don't get it, all right? Now, I want my students to know they're special, all right? Yeah, they might get on my nerves every now and then. Okay, I'm sure I get on their nerves more often. Amen. All right. But I was ready. Okay. But we are all made in his image. Amen. Right. And so, and the last point here, God set man apart as special. And that goes with the idea of in his image that we already talked about. So it's an easy transition. So let's go to verses 28 to 31 as we really are wrapping it up. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you. For all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Even came the morning, sixth day. See, we see here that God endowed humanity with the authority to rule the earth as God's representatives. Okay, and observe elsewhere, and I read this earlier, you made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as the animals in the world, the birds of the sky and the wild, the birds of the sky, fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Okay? and the ESV Studies Bible says, here the idea is that the man and woman are to make the earth's resources beneficial for themselves, which implies that they would investigate and develop the earth's resources to make them useful for human beings generally. This command provides a foundation for wise scientific and technological development. Right? I kind of like that point. Okay, right. But again, right, wise and responsible, not abuse and mistreatment. Okay, not that, but we should be wise. We should be responsible as we carry out that plan. See, humans were given the responsibility to take care of the earth, to be God's representatives, to show how things should be done, okay, and to multiply. But we messed up, right? Amen. We messed up. We mess up all the time. We will see more of that in detail in upcoming messages. But again, for now, in the creation account, we see that God just spoke things into existence. He spoke and it happened, right? He saw that his creation was very, very good. And he shaped man in his image and he set man apart as special. In conclusion here, Jesus is the image of God that we were intended to be. Okay? Colossians 1 verse 15 says, he is the image of the visible God, the firstborn over all creation. Okay? See, through the fact that Jesus lived the life we could not live, right? He paid the penalty for our sin as a perfect God-man. He provided a way for humans to be renewed in the image of God through faith in him. Amen? See, thus, those of us who are united to Christ, again, become God's image-bearing participants in his rule over the earth. Okay, we get to participate. We fulfilling the original mandate to multiply and make manifest God's goodness and glory in all the places that his people dwell. Now, I was just talking to a former player last night. Okay, Malcolm. If Malcolm calls me, like I said the other day, like Casey's the same way. We talk for a while, right? You know, and that what you said, Casey. I'm an old soul, right? And we talk like 2 hours, right? But kind of ended by saying, you know, more than anything, we talked about our kids, and you know, and I saw, you know, because he's asking about them, and I said, how old are they now? And I told him how old they were, and all, and I'm like, but most importantly, you know, for them, I like that they have a desire to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's something that I pray for, okay, as often as I can, right? We're proud of you, Alex, that you go to that school up north, right? We are proud of you, right? But we're more proud that you have a heart. I'm sure your parents are more proud that you have a heart for God. Okay? So over and above everything, right, that should be our desire, that we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? So I want to read to you the larger passage that's going to be on the screen in Colossians. And I want you to put yourself in there. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that you said, you know, what Jesus did on the cross, that counts for me, then you're part of this. Okay, and we'll ask the ladies to come up, and we'll be done. I did pretty good today. All right, if you don't mind, all right. Okay, as far as the time goes, you did good on what, Patrick? I don't know. Okay, make sure I specify. Okay. Anyway, Colossians 1:13-20 says, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him, Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Okay. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him. He was there. Okay, look in John. Okay, John chapter 1. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and not just this church, but the collective church, a large church, of people who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, right? He is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Okay? It's through his blood shed on the cross that we're going to be looking at as we approach Easter, right? As we get to that time. And I admit, whenever I came in this morning, I got a little teary-eyed, right, when I walked in and I saw the cross. Right? And then I was like, Ms. Jan, you brought all those things yourself? And she was like, oh, yeah, I did. You know, she's like, nothing. You know, I'm like a beast. You know, she's probably walking here like this and this, you know. She probably carried all of them. She probably carried all of them one time. No, Miss Jan, bless her heart. All right, but you know, but it was just awesome to come in and just, you know, to be reminded of what was done on the cross, right? Amen. In our place. And so you've never accepted that what Jesus did on the cross is counting for you many, many years ago. I pray that you'll make that decision today. All right, you can come up at the end of the service when we do what we're about to do. All right, the altar call, or afterwards as we eat. Okay, and so I'll ask Sally to come lead us in a song.